Hey guys, what's up? This is Joseph here. Thank you for tuning into my podcast. Today I'm interviewing...
It's Brian here.
What's up, Brian? And Brian, it's okay that I interview you today?
Yeah, bro. I really appreciate it, actually.
Thank you, Brian. So, I haven't seen you in a while, and my podcasts are really about like teenage lives or even young adults, and pretty much you can talk or express or mention anything that it's difficult really for you to say to your parents, or not necessarily something that you say to your parents. It's just one question that I have for everyone is, what in your lifestyle, what experience did you have that defined yourself, that you feel like defines yourself today?
Well, Joey, that's a really good question. But like, for me, you know, I grew up, you know, kind of the same era as my older brother, even though he grew up in he was born in the 90s, I was born in the 2000s, but we still grew up together, you know. And my twin brother, Brandon, me and him obviously grew up together. So me, Brandon, and Eli all grew up together, and we all had different experiences, you know. Like, it's like what defined me is I was never really, like, you know, all my life, my older brothers and them, you know, they would always, like, find something bad they would do, like, or, you know, they would have a flaw. They wouldn't listen to their mom, or, you know, I understand because my whole family is like that, but I just never really enjoyed doing the things that were wrong, you know? Even though I really have the urge to rebel against people, because especially with what's going on, how they think I should act, you know? You know, the way they think I should act is just, it's not the way that sometimes people want to act, you know? Like, you have to, you know, it's kind of like they take advantage of the fact that we've been so nice and so good and so good, you know? You know what I'm trying to say? Because, like, what defined me is I've never been one to rebel that much, you know? I was just a normal person, you know, normal kid, I guess you could say. Who's too afraid to, I guess.
That's a great answer. Now, I heard you mention you have your twin, Brian, or Brandon, correct?
Yeah.
And Brandon is older or younger?
He's younger, 15 minutes. He's 15 minutes younger than me, because we're twins, you know, and we're on the same day. And yeah, he's the younger, but he looks taller, he looks bigger, but I'm older than him, so.
Now, are you guys identical twins, or?
Yeah, we're identical twins.
Identical, okay. So, how would you differ your personality from your twin's personality?
Well, for sure, Brandon has less reactive. He's more nonchalant. You know, like, he's more, for example, I could say, chill and calm in certain circumstances. Me, I'm more of an action-taking man, like, person, you know? I'm more of a person that would, like, you know, sometimes, don't get me wrong, I am nonchalant. Sometimes I am quiet, but other times I'm also very, you know, outgoing, I guess you could say, but I'm also, that also causes a problem between me and him sometimes, because he wants to just, sometimes he's the one who has to tell me to do the right thing, because sometimes I have too much of an urge to do something just that I want to do, and that other people don't want me to do, you know, that he would be like, you know, dude, that's disrespectful, or don't do that, or this or that, you know, he's that type of person to tell me that type of stuff, you know, I wouldn't have myself to tell me that stuff, you know, so I guess that's the difference, really.
Would you say that some of the stuff that you do is really disrespectful, or do you feel like that the way other people view it would be disrespectful?
I feel like the way other people view it would be disrespectful, because, you know, if somebody who cares about you, somebody who loves you, would not, you know, they would do whatever it takes to make you happy, right? And if you love if you love them, like your parents, and if you love all these people, you know, they're gonna understand, you know, that's like, they're gonna understand that you have like you're not just a kid. You're not just somebody that, you know, that you have to you know, raise. And of course that's the scenario. That's what they've been put into. That was their case. Once they got you, once they adopted you or gave birth to you, whatever the case is for you. You know, for me, I was adopted, me and Brandon. So whatever the case may be, once they took you in their house, their goal was to raise you right in their eyes, okay? But, you know, we are also humans too. You know, we're going to be one of those people that has to raise other people, you know? So they have to make sure they remember that sometimes because, you know, sometimes, you know, I didn't realize until I got turned 18 that there's so many family problems sometimes in families. And you don't even know when you're a kid until you turn 18. Maybe sometimes there are unfortunate kids who learn it at a young age and it ruins their childhood and things like that, you know, such, you know, but, there's a lot of things mixed in with it, you know, being me and my brother are ideal people, you know, because we were so good at our youths. Everyone else is like, oh, you're their favorites or their favorites of people. But there's also things that are expected of us. And when we don't even meet those tasks, the ones that are expected of us, that other people don't even try to reach, we get in trouble. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's like, but, you know, you don't understand how much worse it could be. You know what I'm saying? And you know, another factor goes in. Like yesterday I was talking about me and Brent, well, I was talking about the ADHD and ADD and all these disorders, right?
Right.
And my thing is, you know, growing up nowadays, you know, a lot of kids have this more often, okay? Because, you know, I searched it up. I recently researched it, and I used to take medicine all my life for it. And when I became a teenager, my mom wanted me. She wanted me off of it, and I'm like, you know, you don't need it, you know, and they would use the excuse, you know, when I was a kid, they said when I was a kid, that didn't exist. And I was like, you know, it probably did exist. It's just, nobody was talked about. No one was talking about it because their moms and their dads probably whooped them or whatever and just taught them a lesson every time they acted out. And they probably just learned from that, you know what I'm saying? But like, these are disorders, okay? These are actual disorders. Attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. All right.
Would you say you suffer from this?
I think I was diagnosed as a kid, as a baby, but and going to doctors as checkups. Obviously, I was diagnosed with those things, and I searched it up because all my life I was told by them, you know, it didn't exist. Maybe it's not real. These are placebo. The medicine is fake, you know, and it makes me feel like, okay, am I just the one that's crazy? Am I the only one in this world that procrastinates like that? Because they make me feel like that, you know. And it is really hard to focus for me. It's not only hard to focus, it's hard to remember things, and it's also hard to keep myself organized and things in that order, things in that things, you know, that's, you know, things that we enjoy to do, we try to remember, but still it's hard, you know. And people blame us for it, but yeah. And so I searched up recently, and the side effects of it is, you know, forgetfulness, you know, disorganization, all these types of things. And they even have, one of the side effects is relationship issues. And I'm in a relationship right now, and there are some problems that are faced because of the fact that, you know, I may forget to call or I may forget to text. And it's a long distance relationship, so it relies on those types of things. You know, I'm going throughout my day, and this is how my day would start. You know, I would wake up, I'd have work to do for that day, and I get up, I eat breakfast or whatever, you know, I do everything I need to do for the morning, and then I tell myself, okay, I'm gonna focus, I'm gonna do work. And then what happens is I go in my room, somebody messages me, or I text my girlfriend good morning before I forget. I text her good morning. So I text her good morning. She answers immediately. And I call her real quick. Just real quick. I tell myself to real quick. Call her and start talking. And we get into something totally long. And I look at the clock and an hour passed by. Okay, so what? It's an hour. And that's not going to hurt anything. And then I hang up the phone with her. And then I start my work. Brandon comes in and we start talking. And then it goes on like that every day. And then I forget to text her. I tell her before I hang up the phone. I'd say, all right, babe, I'm going to go do my work. You know? And she's, okay, you know. And then I hang up my phone. And then right when I hang up my phone, Brandon walks in and we start talking. And hours go by. And then she calls me, hey, you done with your work? Oh, no, I'm about to start. Boom, there's a problem. You know why? Because, you know, my mind goes off on these tangents and it causes problems. It's a real disorder, right? And it's caused, most of the time, this disorder is not picked up. Like, you know, depression can be picked up during life. That's a disorder that can be picked up during life, or you can be born with it. But,
do you feel like you suffer through depression?
I feel like ADD, which is what I have, attention deficit disorder, it's different from hyperactivity disorder. I feel like that can cause some spikes of depression, but not all the time. But I don't think I've ever suffered from it deeply, you know, where I want it to really, really badly, you know, just, you know, end it all. Of course, everybody has the thoughts of ending it all, even though you've never, you know, fully had depression, but everybody has that thought of just, man, but it would be a lot easier, you know? And maybe not when my parents were younger, but kids nowadays do. And that's because of also social media and all these types of things. But, so to continue, attention deficit disorder is exactly that. My attention deficits off to somewhere else. Deficiting means to go somewhere else, to go off on one path, and you deficit to somewhere else. You go somewhere else, off the path. So attention deficit disorder means my attention span goes somewhere else. You've seen me in school, Joey. I've started talking about one thing and I end the conversation about something else. And that's exactly how it's been my entire life.
But do you think that is a way of life? Like, you can start one thing and you can finish with something else, because, well, do you ever think that life is really supposed to be about starting one thing and finishing one thing? Do you understand?
I understand what you're saying. I just feel that whenever somebody wants to start something, especially me, I have a problem not finishing it. You know, like, there are things in my, even I have a TikTok account, and I have some series that I started on my TikTok, a few series, and they're not done. I only have, like, part two, part three, but it's supposed to be, like, 10 parts to it. And there's not even finished, you know what I'm saying? My mind totally went off somewhere else. And, you know, I couldn't stay committed to something. You know, one time I tried staying committed to a video game, or I tried staying committed to karate my whole life. So one time, it didn't work. I always got once I got to the orange belt in karate, my mom pulled us out. And you know, even studying things, you know, I used to, you know, stay committed to one thing, but it's hard to stay committed to a whole bunch of stuff at the same time to me in my head. And you know, this is the argument I pull up. You know, somebody with depression has a disorder. Nobody's going to go to that person who has depression and say, hey, get happy. Of course that happens to them and they get upset. But if you go up to somebody with depression, and depression is a real brain disorder, and you go up to them and you can't just say, get happy. You're going to try to help them. You're going to try to give them antidepressants. You're going to try to give them therapy, okay? But somebody who has a disorder, which is the same exact thing, but it's not depression. It's called attention deficit disorder, which is in a lot more kids. Attention hyperactivity disorder, ADHD, ADD, these types of disorders. They tell them the opposite. They say, hey, focus. But it's not that easy. It's the same thing as telling a kid with depression to get happy. You know, their brain just can't do that. That's just how it is. Somebody with attention deficit disorder like me, their brain just can't do that. It's the same thing. And it's a disorder when you say, get happy, and you tell me to get focused. You know?
I completely understand that.
And they're telling me to get focused, and they took me off the medicine. And it's the same thing as telling a kid who doesn't have antidepressants, become happy. Get happy yourself. I'm going to teach you how to get happy yourself. And I understand that that can happen. That can happen. That's possible. But that's a very hard road. Both of those disorders are not curable. Depression, ADHD, ADD, these are not curable disorders. These are what you're stuck with this. And this is not our fault that we're stuck with it. It's due to our parents. It's mostly our parents, okay? Because if you look at the common cause of these disorders, it's when it's the abuse of the child inside of the womb during pregnancy. Okay, so if your mom or your if your mom smoked, if your mom drank, if your mom did drugs while you were in the womb, then you probably have this disorder one way or another. You probably have ADHD or ADD. Okay, and my mom, me and my brother's mom, because we're twins, right? My biological mother, I mean, did all that stuff. She did drugs and all that type of thing. You know, that type of stuff. She did bad things, and that probably caused our disorders. And this is looked upon as, come on, focus. But if I said, oh, I had depression my whole life, my parents are going to take it lighter. And I'm like, why? This is the same thing. You know, this is a disorder too. A depression is a disorder. Bipolar depression disorder or just depression disorder. These are things that are common in a person's brain. Okay? And sometimes people take it lightly, but it's not something to be taken lightly. You know, same thing as depression is not taken lightly in other people, you know? But ADHD and ADD, these are taken lightly to people. And it's not the same thing, of course. And I get this common answer. I would tell my mom. But you know, I would tell her, oh, you know, depression, you need medicine, but ADHD, you don't need a medicine. They're both disorders. And they're saying, well, depression's different. And I'm like, how is depression different? You know? It makes them sad. It messes with their brain in a certain way. The same thing, our disorder messes with our brain in a certain way. You know, I commonly have this thought, you know, does everyone else tells me to get focused? My girlfriend tells me to get focused. We have problems because we've had arguments where I have not focused. I have not remembered certain things. I have not, you know, we fought about a certain fight. We hung up the phone. I go to take a shower. I finish my studies and I call her back and I'm perfectly fine. And she's like, why are you acting like everything's fine? And I'm like, well, why should I? Why, I mean, babe, like, what's wrong? And she's like, you really don't remember. And we had a fight 2 hours ago about something. And then it comes to my head, oh, yes, I'm sorry. Yo, I remember it just now. And she's like, wow, you forgot what we fought about? I'm like, I don't know how. I don't know. It makes me feel like, man, am I the only one on the planet that forgets things like this? I feel alone sometimes because I feel like, you know, that no one's going to understand. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like that's what you're supposed to feel. It's because they might not even have what you have. They don't have the disorder. And that makes me feel like, man, maybe the disorder is real. Maybe they were lying to me when they said it's not real. Maybe they were lying to me when they told me it didn't exist. And I searched it up and for sure, it exists. And it's a real thing. It's a very common and real thing. And it's not something to be played with either. The same thing as depression. We should take it more seriously, you know, because if a kid needs help, there's a reason why he needs help. There's a reason why he needs to focus. There's a reason why he has testing anxiety in class. Okay, there's a reason why it's hard for him to talk, hard for him to be, you know, my mom used to say, oh, you were on medicine when you were a younger kid and you used to be shy all the time and I don't want you to be like that. And I said, mom, you know, that's because I was a kid. It's not because of the medicine. I was a shy kid. That's how kids are. But I'm an adult now. I'm in college and the medicine is going to truly help, you know? And I feel like it's going to help me, and I'm going to learn how to get off of it one day. I'm not going to need it all my life, but right now I need something, you know, like, you know, because they tell me to study better or focus better, and it's hard. Just, you know, it's just really hard, bro.
Now, I completely agree with you. As a person who suffers through depression and seeks therapy, but I refuse to take medication only because I fear of addiction. But a lot of people throughout my life told me that like these disorders were curable. And when you tell someone as a young kid, right, like if you're raising your son and you tell him God is real, he's going to believe it because he's going to trust his father. He's going to follow his father, correct?
Yeah.
Now, right. If you tell your son that red ball of gum is disgusting, he would most likely believe it, correct?
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's true.
I feel like, and you may disagree, it's completely your opinion, I feel like that throughout our lives, Mm-hmm. When parents try to keep us in an orderly fashion, like an orderly fashion, so they can make the best of us when we're older.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's going to be some type of glitches in between that timeline, like computers. There's always going to be glitches, whether if you just bought it or whether if it's like
mm-hmm.
a week old.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is that these disorders, because a lot of people think that it's curable and when it's really not curable, and a lot of people think that drugs do help, and drugs sometimes in my opinion, like, certain drugs don't help, but yeah. The way that it affects relationships and the way that other people see that this is an issue for, like, for an instance, your girlfriend, does she acknowledge that you have ADD?
She didn't know until I told her, and I thought she knew, you know, I thought everyone knew, and I told her, and she was like, but you can't blame that, and I'm like, you know, it's hard to say, it's hard for you to say, you know.
But what else are you supposed to put, like, I'm not saying that you can, the normal person should create excuses, but, like, if you really have a problem, if someone, like you just said earlier, if someone's telling you to do something, you really can't do it because you can't control it. If you have a broken leg, mm-hmm. you can't run because your leg is broken, or at least it's still healing.
Yeah.
And I feel like relationships, whether it goes to your girlfriend, friends, or family, like, if they wanted to respect you in the most way, or abide by the golden rule, then they should acknowledge what the person has.
Yeah.
What the person goes through. Like, for an instance, I'm just going to share this because, one, this is not only just a podcast. Like I've stated, you can express and talk about anything.
On here, yeah. Yeah.
I knew I had post-traumatic distress disorder.
Mm.
But I was recently diagnosed with that from my doctor, but I knew for a very long time that if you touch me in certain areas, like my neck, I will lose my shit and I will have a mental breakdown. But then when I would go tell people that, they would just be like, you want attention or you're just scared.
Yeah.
But never acknowledge and respect that.
Yeah. I know that.
Now, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you keep people around who will never come to agree with the terms that you have? Like, not the terms that you have, but the situation that you have. Do you keep those people around you? Or do you come to a certain point in your life when you realize that they keep forgetting that I have a disorder and it's not like I can control it, but I can have used to control it, but it's me, it's inside of me. It's not like I can take it out with the needle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
do you keep these people around or not?
I, you know, the people that really don't acknowledge it that much often is my parents. And, you know, there's that saying, you know, I'm going to always be in your life. I'm your mom. I'm going to always be in your life. Or, you know, that type of thing. And I love, you know, I love her. And she's not going to leave my life. It's just, I'm going to fix what I have. And, you know, this is when the version of me also comes in. I have, you know, there's the version of me that comes in that wants to give up, and version of me that comes in that wants to fight everything, you know, that version of me that wants to rebel everything no matter what, even if it's in myself. So one of the things that I do is just, I have this thought, man, you know, I'm not gonna let this beat me either, you know. You know, I know I have it, I know I have this disorder, and I'm not gonna let this beat me, and I'm not going to be controlled by it. But it's hard, dude. It's so hard. It controls my life, and it comes unknowingly. And, you know, I should be doing something, but I'm doing something else. And it comes unknowingly until somebody wakes me like, hey, what are you doing? I thought you were going to study an hour ago, 2 hours ago. You know? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And I can't make an excuse. I can't even. It's not like I want to. It's just I can't. There's nothing to say. I have to stay completely quiet or, yeah, I know. You're right, and yeah, you're right, I'm gonna start now. And they yell at me, I'm gonna take your phone, or, you know, whatever. And I'm like, okay, you know, I just got distracted, I don't know. They're like, what were you doing? And I'm like, I don't don't know. It just happens unknowingly. You know, I tell myself days and days, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I wake up and I'm going to do this. And no matter how badly I start and how hard I try, I'm still stuck in it. It's like, I'm not going to let it beat me, but the people that are in my life that acknowledge it is my mom, and that's it. And everyone else is like, oh, I get it, I guess. So, you know, so it's just weird. It's just odd, man. And it's just a little thing I've been wanting to talk about, get off my chest, really. That it's a real, ADHD, ADD is a real thing, real disorder, and these are both real, they're real. You know, it's not, they're not, the medicine they give you is not placebo. The medicine they give you is meant to, you know, it's meant to sustain you. It actually, what it does is it sends dopamine signals throughout your body. It's very slowly, every day. It doesn't release them in high amounts because then you can get very highly addicted. But what happens is it releases dopamine very slowly throughout your body every day. So you're fulfilled. You know, every single day for like 12 hours or 7 hours, 8 hours. So whenever I used to wake up in the morning, I remember when I was a kid that my mom used to come and give me the medicine. Right when I woke up, I used to remember that vividly. Every time I woke up in the morning, right when I woke up, she used to have the pills in her hand already with the water. And I'm like, right there. She would be right there. She would have like 4 or 3. She would have one for me, one for Brandon, and one for Dylan, my cousin. And immediately, right when we woke up, I used to be like, oh, why do we have to take it now? But I never asked her that. It was just routine. You know, I would wake up and it would be there and I would take it. Or I would wake up and I would, you know, when she was at work, I would look at the counter and it was right there on the counter. Brian, Brandon, Dylan, named. And I'm like, okay. So I would take it every morning, and I understand why, because it takes like 30 minutes to set into my brain. And by the time I get to school, you know, it would kick in. And I never even realized how much it worked back then, you know? Back then, I was really playing around. That was all me, fully, you know? I was just playing, I was fighting the medicine. I was kept on jumping around and all that because of, maybe they would give me higher doses. I used to get higher doses, and then I would be normal, you know? But there was one side effect that did cause a problem for me.
And do you mind talking about it, or is that very personal?
No, I'll talk about it. So I remember this vividly. It was in 8th grade, and the first time I didn't take my medicine for a while. It was 7th grade. It happened. And I thought it was just a coincidence at first. I didn't take my medicine, and I had forgotten to take it. Or I think the medicine ran out. We needed to get more medicine. And when I went to school, okay, I used to go to military school back then in 7th grade. And I went to school and I started crying. I was super scared to go to school. I got on the bus and I was crying. I hid from people. And I was like, man, I'm scared. I don't want to go to school. And I went to the school every day for all the whole year. And it was like near the middle of the third quarter. And I was crying. Like, I didn't want to go. And I was wondering, because I'm going to tell you how it felt. It truly felt like I'm leaving my home. And I think when I was a kid, I had separation anxiety. You know, all my life, I had separation anxiety. I remember that ever since I was a kid. You know, when you were a little kid and your mom used to leave you at kindergarten, or I'd leave you at first grade and you would cry because your mom left you.
Right.
Or your dad left you, whatever. And you know, I saw kids growing out of that at 3rd grade, 4th grade. But I never grew out of that until I was in 9th grade. Or 10th grade. 10th grade I grew out of. You know that?
10th grade?
The first year I went to AGA, I grew out of that. I was going to do it. I remember that. I remember the exact day. I was going to start crying again. The exact day. 10th grade, I was in Spanish class, Matthew Velez was there, but no, I was going to start crying, actually, because Matthew Velez said, he was my only friend from Paragon, well, not my only friend, I had a lot of friends, but he was the only friend from Paragon that was coming to the school. That's when Liz used to go there and everything, so her stepbrother, remember, Matthew Velez?
Right.
And he was like the only one that I kind of knew, and the only time I would feel better when somebody would, you know, when I would be anxiety or nervous, it was when somebody I knew was there. somebody I knew. Even if I didn't talk to them, if I just knew them, recognized them, I would go near them and I would stay. I would feel safer. And what would happen is I saw him walk in. He was late. I was about to start crying. Literally 1 second after, I would have started, like, tearing up. I don't know why. Don't know why, but I had been off my medicine. And what would happen is, right then and there, it was 10th grade, I was like, I think I broke it. I think I broke it. I think I can handle it. You know, I think I could. Now every year, 11th grade year, 12th grade year, I didn't do it. You know, I didn't cry in the beginning. I was normal. I was a cool guy, you know? And, but before that, I used to cry. I had separation anxiety, even 8th grade, 9th grade. I used to go in 8th grade crying. Oh, what's this 8th grader crying? 8th grade, bro. And I used to think I was weird. Brandon used to do it too. Me and Brandon used to both do it. We used to both cry in the beginning of the year. We used to both be upset. I remember in 9th grade, oh my goodness, when I went to Championship Academy, we left the school. I went to Championship Academy up until December, like 13th, and I left December 13th. I couldn't handle it. I used to cry every single day. I felt like I wasn't belonged there. I used to be late to class. I used to cry in the bathroom. I don't know why. I used to go, and then I went to Paragon for 8th grade the year before that, and when I first went there, that was when I first moved down to Broward County. I didn't know anyone there. You know, I knew nobody. I used to be called in my class. I used to go raise my hand, go use the bathroom, and once I went to the bathroom, I'd cry, and I would wipe my eyes, and I would leave. And hopefully no one noticed, you know? And then what would also happen is a lot of people did see me cry, though. I wasn't hiding it very well. You know, a lot of people did see me cry, and they wouldn't, you know, they would look at me. They'll give me these looks. And throughout my entire year of school, every single year, I would think, oh, no, I have a lot of friends. Am I a cool kid? Am I cool? Or are they my friend because I cry? You know, are they my friend because they don't want me to cry? Are they my friend because they want to be sympathetic to me? You know? And that's how I saw it every single year. And I never got diagnosed for any other disorders in my life. I just got diagnosed for ADD, right? So I don't know, it might be a cause of just that, or I might have something else that I don't know of, because my mom did hard drugs when I was a kid, obviously. Not my mom that adopted me, my biological mom, right? Very hard. So I don't know if I was diagnosed with anything else, you know, growing up, obviously, but I hadn't been checked yet, so. But, and the medicine did cause me that feeling of being separated from my house. So my house was my room was the only place I felt safe. My room. And whenever I left my room, I would be scared. I would be worried without the medicine. With the medicine, I was chill, calm, normal. Right? Without the medicine, you know, when I was a little kid, I was a shy kid anyway. I used to feel nervous, scared, crying, worried. I used to go in my room and I used to go back to my room and play video games or play with my action figures, my toys, whatever. It made me feel normal, you know, and you know, as long as Brandon was in the room too. If Brandon was anywhere I was, you know, I was cool, you know, and sometimes it would help me. I would talk to him, I would play around with him or whatever. But then in 8th grade, we got separated. We used to go to different classes, you know, so that worried, that scared me too. I'm like, oh man, now we're not going to the same class like we used to. You know, they separate twins. They tend to separate twins, schools, you know, because they don't want them playing around. You know, we had some similar classes sometimes, but most times we were separated and I was alone.
Would you guys ever switch classes?
Yeah, a lot of people would ask me, and I mean, I never really did that. I was too worried about myself, you know, or too worried about my friend, or too worried about something else to think about what I wanted to do, you know? My mind would go off somewhere else. I'd be thinking about other things, and it would be too late. You know, last time I wanted to, last time I built up the courage, it was already too late, and I never really wanted to. But whenever I was in the moment, whenever I could, I was so scared to do it. You know, I was always like, man, I'm scared. They're going to notice. You know, theater used to be a big setback for me, and I kind of regret all that. You know, if I was a younger kid, I would do whatever I want. I would live freer. I would, I just miss those times, man. It's just, I want to go back. I really do. There's a lot that I would do if I could go back, man.
Do you feel like you've never had the time
to do much for yourself?
I feel that I've not had the talent to do what I wanted when I was a kid. You know, when I was a teenager, when I was in high school, 9th grade, 11th, 10th grade, 11th grade. I wish if I had, if I can go back, I would change my whole style. I would change the way I was. I would change the way I acted. I would change my haircut. I would change my clothes style. I would literally do all the things I wanted to do now.
But if you change that, would you be yourself today? Would that define who you are today?
Probably right. It probably would not change. It probably would very much change the person I am today. The person I am today has sympathy, and I can make those choices. The ones that I wanted to make in the past, I can make them right now. It's just, I guess the difference is that this version of me has a lot of sympathy. Because if I made these choices that I wanted to make now in the past, I wouldn't have no sympathy for anyone. Or I would have sympathy, but I'd be a player, I'd be a, you know, somebody who doesn't care, you know. And only for the fact that I wanted to feel something that I had, that no one let me feel back in the day, you know, that I was too scared to feel, that I was shy and hidden. That's the story of a kid who was, you know, staying in his room all the time, playing with his dogs, or no one talked to me. You know, I was a very small kid. I was a 4'7", 56-pound 12-year-old. 56 pounds at 12. And I was 4'7". And I was a very small, skinny kid. No hair. My mom used to buzz cut my hair. And that's how it is. Because that's, you know, that's what they do to a lot of young kids. They buzz cut. You know, they do the buzz cut. But I had that ever since all the way up until I was 11th grade. And in 11th grade year, I started growing my hair out a little bit. You remember that, right?
Right.
And then I realized, you know, my hair looks good growing out a little bit. So I started growing it out more. And I realized, oh, man, you know, I like it. You know, this is how my hair's supposed to be. You know, not cut all the way off. And, you know, I feel like that's a cool cut. You know, I would get the buzz cut. I remember, granted, it does feel good. It feels clean, for sure. It does feel clean, but, you know, I think there's a lot of setbacks. My confidence wasn't too well, you know, all my things. I was too worried about what game is coming out, or I was too worried about, you know, what was going on in other people's lives and my own. And, you know, yeah.
All right, Brandon, well, very much so appreciate that you joined my podcast channel today.
No, yeah, bro. It was nice, Joey. It was very good experience. You know, I kind of wanted to be on one of these podcasts, or I wanted to kind of low-key, always wanted to start my own, or I always wanted to be on that type of thing, man. You know, this is a life for real. Just talking, you know, discussing things and, you know, reality, discussing reality. And imagine you can get big off of this, man. I believe in you.
Thank you, bro.
I listened to the pilot, and it was really good. I liked it, and it was very well made. I liked the music, and it's very calming. You know, something that, you know, you could probably enjoy, you know, peacefully. You know, not something that's going to be too rowdy, something too good. And, you know, there are times when it could be rowdy. There are times when, you know, if I made a podcast, I would make it like a segmented, you know, I would make it like a sleep sleep podcast, or one for sleep, you know, to talk about stuff at night talk, and then one about, you know, a night drive, you know, just jazz music in the background, just quietly talking about stuff so people can listen to on a drive, or something, you know, a daytime exciting one, you know, something for the summer, something for the beach, you know, something like that, you know.
Right.
I would make it segmented, and it would feel good. I don't know. That's just the type of life I would like. And I'm getting my degree in on mass media communication, and it has to do with like radio, like things like podcasting in the radio, things like radio hosting, or things like reporting on TV, things like that, you know. And it's stuff like media, and you can do social media stuff too. And I just liked that type of stuff. You know, Miss C's class was always really good for me. I always liked it. I always felt normal in her class, you know?
Miss C's class was the best class.
Yes, dude. I always felt normal in her class, and she made me feel really... I was like, no, bro, this class is cool. Even though we had journalism and we had film the next year, and you remember, you remember the film class right before you left, because you were there for senior year, remember? For like a few weeks.
I was there for about 2 weeks the most, and then I decided to journey off to a better high school.
Yeah, for sure, dude. I wanted to go to South Broward in 10th grade, but, you know, somebody stopped that. And,
Are we talking about Liz?
Yes, I'm talking about Liz. She stopped that, and because, well, Brandon wanted to go here because they were all talking about going, and I was like, I don't want to go, dude. I know how this is going to end up. You know, this is... But I'm grateful I went anyway because I met you. I met all my friends. I met my girlfriend there. Everything, dude. Everything's great. And I wouldn't have this life if I never... You know, everything happens for a reason, honestly, bro. Because if I would have went to South Broward, I probably would have made those choices. I probably would have been that Brian that I wanted to be back then. If I went to South Broward, I probably would have been that type of Brian back then. I probably would have started being this Brian at 10th grade. I probably would have been... You know, player by 12th grade. I probably would have been smoking. I probably would have been drinking. And I'm not saying I would have. I'm not saying that's about the school, because everybody has their own cliques there. Everybody hangs out with their own people. But low key, the type of person I am, I would have adapted to that life, because I would have really wanted to be something else. And that's what I would have been if I would have went there. And I'm grateful I went to my school because I met you guys. And you know, I probably wouldn't even know you. I probably would have walked right past you by the time you transferred to South Broward in 12th grade. If I would have went to South Broward instead of, you know, AGA, I would have walked right past you one day and never knew who you were. I would have never been on this podcast. I would have never been ever knowing who you were. I never been to your parties, none of that, you know. And I would have never been to any place, you know, that my friends, I've never been to my friend's house. Never knew any of them, bro. And I'm grateful that I went to that school because, you know, it just built a lot of experiences, you know. It made me who I am. Basically, and you were right about everything that happened in the past made me who I am today. It is, and it's true.
Well, thank you again, Brian. And I really appreciate, and you are a really good person.
Thanks, bro.
And I'm glad that I met you some time ago during school. I gotta be honest, I was kind of intimidated by you and Brandon when I first saw you guys in chemistry class.
Wait, you thought we were scary or something, or no?
Yeah, I thought you guys were gonna be like my bullies.
No, bro, no way. I'm like, I love everybody, bro. Literally, you know, like, just like you're one of your cool friends, bro. I would not bully anybody, bro. I'm not like that. Like, I was bullied my entire life, so no, man.
I remember I quickly learned, because I think I met Brandon first, and then I met you.
Yeah.
Well, I started talking to you not long after.
Yeah, bro. You definitely met Brandon first. I remember because Brandon introduced me to you, like, outside of chemistry, I think, or...
Yeah, well, yes, we all used to line up right next to Liz.
You used to tell me that... You're like, if you say that again, I'm going to tell the teacher you have a crush on her. And I'm like, what the heck? I don't have a crush on her. Miss Newman, remember?
Oh, Miss Newman.
Yeah, she was funny, bro. She was a good chemistry teacher, though.
Oh, I hated Miss Newman. She was hot, but I hated her.
Yo, dude, she was literally a great chemistry teacher. She was a good science teacher. If we would have had her instead of Bellini, that would have been great.
Yeah, that would have been better.
She was supposed to teach anatomy and physiology. Yeah, she was supposed to teach AP that year, the 11th grade year. She was supposed to teach that class instead of Bellini. But she went and kept on getting her master's degree. She tutors kids for like $90 an hour. Remember that?
Yes.
She tutors college students for like $90 an hour. And Brandon realized he had chemistry this semester for college. Introduction to chemistry. And he had a lab, and he had a separate lab and a separate class. So he had to go to class, and he also had a time for a lab, too, at the same time. And he said it sucks, and it's really hard, and it's, you know, this is just the introduction. Imagine he has to go to chemistry 1, chem 2, chem, you know, all these types of things. And imagine how much of a good tutor Miss Newman would be for him, you know? Like, now we wish that we had her, you know, instead of...
He should contact her.
Other people.
Contact her. I heard Miss Newman goes to Franklin.
Yeah, dude, honestly, she teaches there.
Yeah, I believe she teaches there. I've seen a lot of Franklin.
That's cool, bro. Yeah, dude, that'll be nice. What if that actually happened? Like, that'll be great, honestly, bro. And yeah, man, but I just, you know, I miss a lot of you guys, and you know, I moved up here to Palmetto, but I miss a lot of you guys, man. It's just, you know, everybody, you know, I miss you, you know, all our group, Nicole, Troy, all these guys that we used to hang out with. And I don't know how much people started separating, because a lot of people after high school separated and we don't talk to each other anymore, and some people even became enemies and such, you know. But that's, I still miss everybody. What happened?
That's how life is. You spread out, you branch out. Some branches break, but grow new ones.
Yeah, bro, you're right. That's cool. The one thing that I used to always like enjoy about you, Joey, is that you had some good like ideas. You had really good like philosophies and stuff like that. And it's true. It's true. But I like it, dude. It was a good vibe always. It was great. And you know, we may miss high school. I mean, I don't know if you miss high school, but I miss high school, right? And I certainly do just know I have the memories, so I can make more, you know. And it hurts saying that, even that, because I'm never going to go to high school again. And our high school senior year was cut off by the pandemic, and that sucks even worse, because I was supposed to go to prom, I was supposed to go to the senior trip, and AGA already doesn't have good enough ones, because, you know, AGA was just beginning school, so imagine their senior trip, imagine their prom. It's, like, not as good as South Broward, but anyways, COVID-19, you know,
kind of ruined. Took it away from us.
Took it away from us, but it also added stuff to us. You know, we got things from that quarantine, you know? Right. If that never happened, I probably would never be dating this girl. I would probably never be the person I am today. I'd probably never be built. I'd probably never be skateboarding. I'd probably never be anything that I want to do now. You know, I'd probably be the same Brian that was in high school. You know, and that Brian is so much different. Even though it was a few months ago, maybe a year ago, it's still different, you know. And you know, people change, dude. They change fast. But yeah, man, it's just crazy what's going on. And you know, I just enjoy, even through these times I get to talk to you, even through these times I get to be on this podcast, and it was amazing. It was a good experience.
Thank you again, Brian. Thank you
again. Yeah, no problem, bro. And thank you for the experience, bro.